The program is 7 seconds delay, and after so many weeks of Andy Breckman not being able to make it into the studio, we finally have a return to Jersey City. Welcome to the show, Andy. Hi, Andy. This is great. So if you didn't get the idea already, Andy's not here, actually. He was planning on coming. Are you still there? Okay, hang on a second. Welcome to the show, Andy. Welcome back.
Hey, Ken. How's the show going so far?
It has not been going well so far, I have to admit. I had trouble getting you on the air. But it's great to have you back. Great to have you back in the studio.
Well, I'm still about 10 minutes away. My GPS directed me toward the Holland Tunnel. So I hit rush hour in traffic.
Yeah. Because you use OnStar, right?
No, there's not OnStar. There's just the basic straight up GPS.
Yeah. You know, there are apps out there that'll help you get around the traffic now.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine there would be.
Yeah, there's one called Waze. It gives you the best route possible.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as good, isn't it? Excuse me, can I cut in? I have a radio show on WF. I do a stunt radio. Can I cut in this lane? I have a stunt radio show on FMU every WFMU every week. Andy Breckman. Hello?
Tell them to lower the window.
I'm late for my radio. The show's already started. I'm in show business. Sir, I'm in show business. Thank you. Thank you very much.
They let you in.
Well, I'm in show business. Yeah. Civilians, people not in show business, they... It should be a law. I think in California it is a law.
Mm-hmm.
They have to defer to you.
Wow, that's not the law here.
No, it's not the law in New Jersey.
So maybe the next person you try to cut in front of, you should just mouth the words show business.
Yeah, in a perfect world, it would be the law in all 50 states.
Yeah.
And someday it will be. Someday it will be. Now, how are you doing, Ken? I'll be there in 10 minutes, buddy. Don't you worry.
Yeah, okay.
It's all part of my plan to make you appreciate me more.
Right, yeah. Coming in to do the show. Have you noticed that the show, you know, I don't know what to say about the last month or month and a half. We've missed a bunch of shows. You haven't come in. We've done these some sort of disasters, yeah, like the Google Hangout show and the Public Domain Theater 3000 show, which were just...
Terrible
based on the
and
fact
embarrassment.
That...
Embarrassment. And I was this close to legally changing my name after last week's show.
Yeah.
I filled out the paperwork. I was really considering it. In fact, I know a lot of people who heard the show were also considering changing their name.
Yeah, listener Taylor legally changed your name. That's how upset he was.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
It was what they call bad radio.
Yeah, really.
I believe I'm using that term correctly.
You are. Although we did get a good idea from, or I think I got a good idea from last week's show about how to use Google Hangouts in the future.
Oh, I can't wait to try that again.
Yeah, but last week was not it.
Yeah.
That's
like being rescued from the Titanic and asking if the same shipping company has any other cruises planned. I'd like to book a cruise.
Yeah. Hey, just to bring you up to speed, though, on a recent show, the last time I saw you face to face, I think, my daughter Daisy is going to RISD.
Oh, she made her call. She made her decision.
She made her decision. She went back and forth a lot, but I think it was 7 second delay listeners who helped push her in that direction.
Yes, our show has ruined many lives.
Yeah,
and has led many people down the wrong path.
So,
and she is she's now a proud member of that club.
So thank you, everybody who gave Daisy the advice to go to RISD.
And, oh, that's great, Ken. Yeah. That gives us a little closure on that show.
Yeah.
That's very, very considerate of you.
Yeah, no problem. So we actually have a good idea for tonight's show, which makes it all that much more regrettable that you're not here.
Well, I'm there now. Now I can see the Holland Tunnel. The Holland Tunnel is about a quarter mile ahead of me. I can see it.
That's great.
But there is a lot of what they call rush hour.
Yeah, time. A quarter mile. Yeah.
Our listeners may not be familiar with this term. Rush hour is a phenomenon that occurs when people who are going to work, to and from work, clog up the street. It's called rush hour.
Right. What?
If you don't have a job, there's no way you'd ever experience it.
Oh, I see. You're saying that WFMU listeners are largely unemployed. That's
right. And the only reason I'm saying that is because WFMU listeners are largely unemployed.
I got it. And how did they manage to donate all that money to our pledge drive?
Well, because you guilted them into emptying out their piggy banks into their last saving, into the last few dollars they had.
I gave them
this whole song and dance.
Got it. Okay.
About how important freeform radio is and the First Amendment. And blah, blah, blah.
Hey, next week, next Wednesday night, 1 week from tonight, is another totally failed concept, which is that you and I are going to be broadcasting from the Bellevue Theater in Montclair or Upper Montclair from the line that will not exist for the 7 p.m. showing of the WFMU documentary Sex and Broadcasting.
What the hell are you talking about?
We're going to be standing in front of the Bellevue Theater next Wednesday night in Montclair, New Jersey.
You mean an hour before showtime?
Yeah. At 6 o'clock, we're going to be pretending that we're there to interview people in line for the WFMU documentary.
And what time is showtime?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, so nobody's going to be there at 6.
An hour early?
Yeah, so at 6 o'clock, we're just going to have to interview people who are there to see Mall Cop 2, things like that.
Wait, what? I have an idea. Why don't, at 6 o'clock, can we interview people who saw the earlier showing of the 7 second delay movie?
It's not a 7 second delay movie, for one thing.
Yes, it is. Well, yes, it is. It's about me and you and our relationship and our show.
No, it's not.
What are you saying?
You're in it. It's the WFMU documentary, not the as yet... never even before conceived of.
You told me it was about me. I was led to believe it was all about me.
I was just joking. No, I was just joking. It's not about you. That was.
Well, no one's gonna go see a movie. Oh, Ken. What the hell's it about?
It's about WFMU. I never thought you believed that. No, of course it's not about 7 second delay. It's about WFMU.
I told my sister there's a movie about me.
No, you're
oh my
in
God.
It.
Now I have to make this phone call to my sister.
Sorry about that.
That's right. So anyway, what's our theme for today? I am now 5 minutes away, 4 minutes away.
Yeah, you told me you were 10 minutes away 20 minutes ago. Just to put it in perspective.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to keep you from having a breakdown.
Yeah. No, I'm not having a breakdown. It's okay.
I'll be there soon. I'm in Jersey City. I'm looking at Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's great. I was just there the other day.
Oh, I'm just going to have to run in and get a shower curtain. It'll take like 5 minutes at the most.
Okay.
Now, what's our theme today?
The theme is asking people in bands. You wanted to come up with something that would allow you to leave early, just to refresh your memory. You said, yeah. Ken, we need a show that lets me get out of there early. So what we're going to do is we're having a band contest, and the winning band, we end the show early by playing two of their songs at the end of the show.
It's a contest, and our prize is we will play two of your songs. If you're a musician or you're in a band, this is a pretty great prize. It's really the best we can offer, right, to a musician?
Yeah, and the contest is we want to hear about your worst gig ever.
Right, and our prize is airtime. The most, it's more precious than gold. It's airtime.
Yeah, I think gold is more precious.
It's radio play.
Yeah,
and basically, it's kind of like Queen for a Day. We want to hear about the worst gig you ever had, the worst booking you ever had, and if you had the worst booking of any other band that calls in, your reward will be two songs played at the end of this show.
So there you have it. Phone lines are open, 201-209-9368. We want to hear from bands or people who are in bands, as long as you have music available online for free. That's the stipulation, that we have to be able to listen to at least two of your songs on YouTube or Bandcamp or SoundCloud or something like that, someplace where it's free, so that if you win the contest, Andy gets to go home early, bearing in mind that he's not even here yet.
Right. It's a win-win for Andy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I used to tell my kids when I was driving with my kids when they were little and another car honked at me?
What?
You know what I used to tell them? I would say, that's called the good driving honk. And I would say, whenever you see another car that's driving in an exemplary manner, that's really, that whenever you see an excellent driver on the road, you give them a friendly little honk. And so I get a lot of those good driving honks. That's what I used to tell my kids.
Yeah. How old were they when they realized that that was a complete lie? And that, in fact, the truth was the opposite of what you had told them?
They were in middle school, and it actually was a pretty big turning point for me and my family.
Yeah, I bet it was.
When they realized I was kind of full of it.
Kind of like the turning point when you strapped your daughter Julie to the dining room table.
Yeah, see, that was a good driving hunk. I just got another one. Cars are very appreciative of how well I drive.
If you listen back to the show from a couple of weeks ago, when Andy and I drove around Montclair delivering swag to listener Matt, you will hear him. You will hear him almost kill us at one point. I remained pretty cool. Yeah, but
you might hear, if you listen carefully and you play it back, you might hear a good driving honk.
No, that was such a close call. There was no honk.
Yeah, there was no time for a honk.
Yeah, there was no time for a honk. And I can't remember whether, I guess you suddenly braked or you suddenly accelerated. It's all a blur because
to be honest with you, I sensed that you were taking life, this wonderful life, for granted. And I wanted you to have a near-death experience.
Yeah. And I hit my head so hard that I kind of forgot whether it was a sudden braking or sudden acceleration.
Yeah. You never know what it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never had an accident, though. But I've caused like about 22 accidents.
I'd say that's having an accident.
No, I myself have never been involved in it. But I can see in my rearview mirror quite a few of them.
But you're kind of involved if you cause it.
Well, I don't know if you want to get kind of legal about it. If you want to, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right, Ken. Hey, give that phone number out again so people will call.
Okay, it's 201-209-9368. And Andy, we have Lucille on the line. Hi, Lucille. You're on the air.
How you doing? I used to be in a band called Gigi Disco Rock, and a lot of our songs were pretty explicit. We had a song about sexual fantasies called Pie Sexuality, and we talked about all kinds of crazy things. And
Andy's into pie sexuality.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if bisexuality means what I think it means.
Turned on when they get their hair washed at the salon, and all kinds of other things that I probably can't mention on the phone. But anyway, we got booked like 5 hours outside of the city. We drove all the way up there. We had a tuba player instead of a bass player. And turns out it was a Christian, family thing. We're on this big stage. I'm singing Bisexuality, and the guy doing sound cuts us off, and we didn't even get to finish one song.
Wow.
But we got paid.
You did get paid. Well, that's good.
Like $50.
And okay, and
I love us.
And the name of the band is what again?
Gigi. G-I-G-I. Disco Rock. Gigi Disco Rock.
Gigi Disco Rock. Okay, and do you have any songs online in case you win?
I think so. I don't know how many of them you can play on the air.
Well, I have a dump button.
I mean, I guess you could play most of them, but
okay.
We have a song about we have all kinds of fun songs. You can pick any you want. There's some on YouTube.
Okay, great. Well,
I win.
Lucille, right now you're in the lead because you're the only one who's called.
Well, great.
All right, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She went to it was a Christian music festival, and her song celebrated bisexuality.
Yeah, and various sexual fetishes.
I see.
Yeah, so they got on stage.
I don't like it. I love it. Hey, so now I'm in front of the building, but there's no parking spot.
Well, why didn't you park in our parking lot?
It's not convenient for me. Hold on, I'm going to look over here for parking.
Yeah. There's tons of parking in the WFMU parking lot, Andy. Lots of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like 10 or 12.
Excuse me, can I have that? Sir, I'm in show business. Show business. You know the movie IQ? IQ? I wrote the first draft of IQ. No, that didn't work.
Mouth the words show business.
It doesn't always work.
Try Hollywood.
Hollywood. I had dinner with Madonna. Hi. I had dinner with Madonna. Oh, it was about 20 years ago. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Can I have that parking spot? Okay, thank you.
Did she give it to you?
Yeah. Well, I had dinner with Madonna. Madonna's huge.
Wow. I'm going to try that line.
Well, if it's not true, you could go to jail. Don't screw with show people. Seriously.
Yeah, I don't think I can go to jail. I don't think I'm breaking a law if I lie about having had dinner with Madonna.
Ken, you screw with show people, you play with fire.
I think on the street, I mean, it's one thing, I guess, if I said it on the radio, but I think on the street I can say, like, oh, I had dinner with Madonna, and it's not breaking any laws.
Yeah, good, Ken. You try it. And then our next show will be collecting bail money. We'll do a marathon to collect bail money for you.
Okay.
Hey, you don't lie about show business credentials, Ken. That's like a sacred cow.
So have you actually parked now?
No.
No. Yeah.
I didn't like that space.
There are 10 to 12 free spaces in the WFMU lot right now.
All right. I'll park behind the station.
I'm looking right at him.
All right, I'm pulling in. Screaming at
him. Wow, there you are.
Here I am.
And maybe, I don't know if Tony's around. He could open up the back door, the Monty Hall door, let Andy
back. How do I get in there? I've never done that.
Yeah.
Well, should I try that?
I don't know if Tony's here.
Hold on.
Let's put it this way. If anybody's around who can let Andy in the Monty Hall door, just open the Monty Hall door so he knows you're there. And we've lost Andy. Sounds like he parked. But Mike is on the line. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, so we were playing this. We drove down to Virginia to play a show, and it was freezing cold. So we got into the venue. There was, like, a big stage, and it looked great, and there was a DJ playing. And we asked where, you know, we could set up. And they're like, oh, no, you're not playing on this stage. You're going to play on the other stage, which was outside. So it was 30 degrees. The band set up outside, and it was so cold that there was a sidebar where you could get drinks, but it was enclosed. So the band played to no one outside, with everyone just with their hands pressed up against the window, watching from, like, a side bar area.
All right, cold outdoor stage. And what was the name of the band?
Glove.
How do you spell it?
Like you lost your glove. L-O-S-T, glove.
Yeah. Lost glove?
Lost gloves, like you lost your pair of gloves.
Oh, lost gloves. Okay, so plural. Yeah.
Plural.
Okay, and what site might I be able to find some tracks?
We're on Bandcamp.
Okay,
we have an album called Made in the Shade, which you could play.
All right, cool. I think I just buzzed in Andy Breckman. Made in
Excellent.
The Shade. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye bye. We are asking for the worst gig stories if you're in a band or you had a band, and the best story we get. Tonight, we are going to play two songs. That way, Andy Breckman can go home early and technically can have spent less than 30 minutes in the main studio tonight because it's now 25 after 6. He's not here yet. I sort of think I just buzzed him in, but I'm not even sure. I did. Here he is.
Hey,
here he is.
Hey,
I was just marveling at how well played the show is for you tonight because you're getting on the air. It's almost 6:26.
Yeah.
And
I'll be leaving soon.
If all goes well, you'll be leaving in 25 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, can I leave now?
No.
So you're still doing that same topic?
Yeah, we just got another call.
The thing about the bands and the bad gigs?
Yeah.
How's that working for us?
Great. We've had two calls.
You know what occurred? Oh, what was the second call?
The second call was Mike and his band Lost Gloves. They got booked somewhere, and when they got there, they were told they had to play on the stage outside. And it was so cold that nobody stood in front of the band and everybody huddled inside a bar area and just watched them through the glass.
That's a bad gig.
Yeah, it's a really bad gig.
Because of the temperature.
Yeah, the coldness.
And the one before that was a woman who played...
That was Lucille from Gigi Disco Rock.
She played about bisexuality.
Yeah.
I once played a song about bisexuality in front of a bunch of trisexuals.
Oh, man.
And they were upset because I didn't go far enough. Hey, what about us trisexuals? They yelled. So it's a very, very delicate calibration.
That was a very bad booking.
Yeah, you've got to know your audience.
And then you also had the famous.
She was singing about bisexualities in front of unisexuals. That's equally bad. You've got to find your audience and know your audience.
You had a famous worst gig ever.
Yes, I believe I could win this contest, and me being one of the judges gives me an inside track. I'll tell you about it if we have a lull.
Okay, yeah, we have a bunch of people calling right now. The phone number is 201-209-9368.
And remember, our prize is the greatest thing we can give away, the most precious commodity we have here,
one
right?
1 pound of gold, 1 pound gold.
It's more precious than gold, Kenny. It's airtime. It's radio airtime. For a band, Ken, I mean, they don't, especially if they're not familiar with the station, this is a very, very, very valuable prize.
I misunderstood. Okay.
Yeah.
It's more valuable than gold.
201-209-9368.
Okay. Robin Maplewood, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Did you have a bad gig?
Yeah, I used to play with a guy, and he kind of fronted the band. The band was named after, you know, his kind of like image thing. It was a rockabilly band.
What was the name of the band?
The name is Robaloo. And the Bastards.
Rob Lou.
Rob A. Lou. Like Rob.
Okay.
Capital A. Yep. And then Lou.
Okay.
I love
it. He kind of took from an old Daryl Rhodes song called Lulu. And it became that, like everybody.
Rob Lou and the Bastards. I love that name.
Yes. And he wanted to. Anyway, it was a rockabilly gig. It was in Santa Fe. And kind of dressed in the part. And I guess the one guy that he had out there. He was really into, like, sound gear and brought all the sound gear and got all the way out there and forgot his guitar. like his hollow body Gretsch, which would have gone with the image. And he ended up having to play this guitar that this guy Rob had, which was like, you know, like the guitar he had when he was 17. It was like this heavy metal, like hockey stick with the Floyd Rose.
So he couldn't play his Gretsch hollow body.
Right. He didn't play his Gretsch hollow body.
He got stuck with like a metal, kind of metalish,
exactly, a metal
solid guitar. Body.
Exactly.
It seems like an inconvenience. Would you call it a disastrous gig?
Well, I think what happened was it was disastrous because of that every time that he played in these kind of whammy bar things, which didn't have those kind
right.
of bendy twang. Rob Alou, he sang and played drums. He would then beat the drum harder. And then just get kind of frustrated and while singing and then kind of like look over in disgust. And it just, it really went south fast.
It's a classic bad gig. It's a classic bad gig.
All right, Rob, we're adding it to the list. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
So we're talking to musicians and band members about their worst gig ever. The winner, that is the one band member with the worst gig, gets a little airtime at the end of the show.
Which allows you to go home early.
Yes.
Which is why you wanted to do this idea so bad.
And then do I have to listen to the show as I go home?
I guess it's the honor system.
I wouldn't know how to begin to listen. Is it what number is it?
It's 91.1 FM.
Oh, FM.
Yes.
Oh, that's why. Oh, FM. That's why I couldn't find it before. Have you? We've always been FM? Always?
Yeah, we've always been on the FM dial.
Fantastic. I love FM. Much better quality. Good choice, Kenny.
Yeah, no problem.
201-209-9368. And those of you just that are new to the station, we're FM. FM. Okay.
All right. Dave in Bloomfield, you're on the air.
Oh, am I on the air?
You are.
Yeah. You love the show. 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 You love the show.
I do love the show.
Oh, great. Oh, go ahead.
I submit. I love the show.
All right, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, we'd like to hear your story.
All right, we can talk to you now.
Oh, groovy. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anyway, you guys are talking about like the worst gigs musicians can ever play. And
yeah.
The worst gig ever anyone can imagine is a gig that doesn't happen. And
that's true.
Yeah, this one time, my band back in like 2003, we were called Laura Palmer. We were on tour, a tour that we booked entirely using Friendster back in the day.
Wow!
And it was a seemingly successful 3-week tour, but we come to Atlanta to play this festival with a whole bunch of like hardcore and like punk bands, and it doesn't exist. We show up to like the address.
Wait, what did not exist?
The club did not exist.
No, it was a festival. A festival did not exist.
Well, I mean, like I said, this is back in the day. We booked the entire tour using Friendster. So, I mean, as far as we knew, yeah, there's this like hardcore fest happening in Atlanta that we were.
Whoa! So it wasn't just that there was one club that didn't exist. The entire festival was a fabrication.
Yes, sir.
Whoa!
It's like a really bad Twilight Zone.
We just show up like from New Jersey after mm-hmm. we're playing all these like shows going down the Atlantic coastline. And we show up to a strip mall, and we're like, this is the address, and we find this venue, and it has like a sign on the window saying, like, yeah, sorry, closed for, like, public health reasons. So we have no idea what to do.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there was a venue, but it had been closed down.
Yeah, we were not notified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you weren't notified. I got
this,
you.
This is 2003. Like, only half of us had cell phones at the time.
Well, that's a pretty big disaster. It's not the disaster that I was imagining, that, like, he got there and there was just nothing.
That's a pretty big disappointment, yeah, especially like, after a long drive.
Yeah.
There was a strip mall, yeah, and we had driven from South Carolina. I think we played in Charleston, but, yeah, we were driving from South Carolina, and we show up, like, the next day, and, like, yep, there's venue, no show.
There's your bummer. It's almost a working definition of bummer. Hey, thanks very much for calling. I know there's more to the story, but Ken is giving. I know there's more to the story. I know there is.
Thank you, Dave.
We're all going to imagine what happened next. Let's just take a moment and imagine what happened next to Dave.
Okay.
Go.
I think they were like, what the hell? You know, and that went on for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then they thought, like, well, we better just, you know, get a motel room and then we'll drive back tomorrow. And then that's what they did.
I think what happened next is Dave checked in at home. He called home, and he found out that his stepfather had been arrested for date raping his neighbor.
Why do you think that?
Just a guess. Just a shot in the dark.
That's quite.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think happened.
That's a real Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I should get odds on that.
Yeah.
201-209-9368.
Martin in Sweden, you're on the air.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Martin.
Hey, thanks for calling. You love the show.
Yes, I do.
Oh, that means the world to us, doesn't it, Kenny?
It does.
And Martin, what was the name of your band? And tell us about the worst gig you've ever had.
All right. We had a pretty fun band, and you always used to have gigs. Gimmicks when we were playing. And like presents to the audience and stuff like that. And this time we chose less than optimal stage gear. So we were using translucent clothing.
All right, transparent clothing, okay.
It backfired pretty badly. Pretty much we were playing naked, and it was for our friends and family.
So you're really playing naked for friends and family.
It kind of defeats the purpose of clothing, doesn't it? If you can see through the clothing. The first job that clothes have, it seems to me, is to be solid.
And Martin, what was the name of the band?
The name was Enter.
How do you spell it?
Yep, just like the key on the keyboard, Enter.
Oh, Enter, E-N-T-E-R. That's okay. A great name for a band. But Martin, I have a quick question. You must have known before you went on stage that you could see through each other's clothes.
Yes, we did. But we had like a good feeling about it when we went on stage. And then that feeling went away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it seems good in theory. Yeah.
When I go into any clothing store, when I go into Old Navy, any clothing store, my first question is, can you see through these pants?
Yeah.
And I want to be assured that you can't.
That's because you're experienced. You're from Hollywood.
Yeah.
So you think of things like this.
I've had bad experiences going around naked.
I can like think of many public performances that I've done or, you know, speaking gigs where the idea of doing it naked is very appealing at first.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Martin. Now we say thank you.
Okay.
Martin. Now we hang up.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hang up. That's right, Ken. You're doing great.
Great.
I'm so proud of you, Kenny.
Thank you.
We're at 201-209-9368. We're trying to determine who's had the worst experience on stage ever. We're talking to musicians and band members. So far, you know who's winning?
Who?
Me. My experience is the worst.
You haven't even told the story.
You know what makes my experience the worst?
What?
It involved me.
Well, of course.
I was the one who suffered. So so far, I would vote for my story.
Well, you can't vote for your own story.
Yes, I can vote for my story. No. If it's the worst, I can.
No, you can't vote for
I would be dishonest if I didn't. Genuinely the worst story, which it is.
Here's the reason why you cannot vote for yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to hear this.
Okay.
Go ahead. This better be good.
Because we agreed that it would be consensus.
Yeah.
That you and I had to agree which band was going to have two songs
when
played.
When you hear my story, you'll agree.
No, and then if I don't agree...
You'll agree.
You don't get to leave early. That's what I'm getting to. If we don't agree, you can't leave early.
You know, now that I'm thinking of it, I'm kind of reappraising my story. It wasn't that terrible.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah.
All right, Mark in Kingston, you're on the air.
We're 201-209-9368.
I love your show.
Hey, thanks, Mark. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Ken?
It does.
You're the fish we wanted to catch, right, Ken?
Well, maybe not the exact fish, but...
No, but the same species of fish.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to speak to a human on the radio.
You got it.
You got it, Kenny. Right. You can check that off your bucket list. Yeah.
One of the worst gigs I ever did. I got a call about 15 years ago to play bass behind this guy, Buzzy Linhart was his name.
Oh,
we know Buzzy Linhart.
He actually has done benefits for FMU.
Yeah, he's a friend of the station. This is going to be perfect.
We're gonna
crap on a friend of FMU. This is already my favorite call. Go ahead. What happened?
So anyway, I'm asked to arrive at 8 o'clock to learn the material. Buzzy, you know, is going to hit at 9 o'clock. So we go to the club. I get to the club at 8. There's no Buzzy.
Where was Buzzy?
Well, Buzzy hadn't left his apartment in New York yet.
Oh, now I'm intrigued. Why? What was holding Buzzy up?
Well, we'll get to it. Anyway, okay. 9 o'clock. Arrived.
It's like a great suspense movie.
The only people in the audience were a couple who drove 3 hours from Vermont.
Fans of Buzzy's.
Fans of Buzzy.
Gotcha.
Die-hard fans of Buzzy.
Right. Two people
finally,
in the audience. No Buzzy. Are you getting this, Ken?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay, he's painting a picture. Two people in the audience, here for Buzzy, no Buzzy.
No headliner, right.
No headliner. He's still in New York. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. 9:30, we get a call. Buzzy's leaving his apartment in the city. That's about an hour's drive.
That's Buzzy all over.
He finally arrives at the club at 10:30.
Yeah.
If I remember right, he was in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
Large man.
He's a big man.
Big man, yeah.
I know he has some fans in Vermont. I know that. I don't know much about him. He has a fan base.
I didn't know
much
about him either, except he had this hit that I think it was Bette Midler had done. You Gotta Have Friends.
Oh, he wrote that?
Oh, that's his song, You Gotta Have Friends?
Yeah. Wait. Can you live on that if you wrote that song? Is that enough to live on?
Yeah, you probably could.
That one Bette Midler hit's enough to live on?
Yeah, you know, it depends on the licensing and, you know, whether it was used in a movie.
Damn, I should have written that song in hindsight. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so he finally gets on stage. It's 11 o'clock. This poor couple's been sitting there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the material because we haven't had a chance to go over it.
Yeah.
But he breaks into You Gotta Have Friends, which I picked up pretty fast. We did that song. I should mention he was with a friend of his playing guitar who was in the Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Ah.
Ah.
The story gets better and better.
Mm-hmm. So we do that song. Afterwards, he has to take a break because he needs to indulge a little bit.
Got it.
Indulge.
Okay. He needs to smoke some weed?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, got it.
That takes about 10 minutes. He comes back on stage. What do we do next? A reprise of You Gotta Have Friends. So we've done the song twice. And he takes another break. And then we launch into Incense and Peppermint.
The Strawberry Alarm Clock hit.
The Strawberry Alarm Clock, which I've never played before, but I fake it. The guitar player says he's been in the band now for 37 years. Right?
Yeah.
And broke up like 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, after that, Buzzy does some improvisation on the vibraphone. It's about 12:15 or so. Well, what are we going to do? You got to have friends for the third time.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
That was the entire gig.
Here's the problem. I love this story, but here's the problem. If you win, we have to play You Gotta Have Friends twice.
No, we have to play You Gotta Have Friends at Incense and Peppermint.
Oh, right.
Yeah, fantastic. What a great power block. Hey, thanks very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks,
Hope
Mark.
You enjoyed it.
I did.
That was a good story.
That was a great story. So far, my story is just a little better. I think I'm winning so far. 201-209-9368.
And give us a hint. Your story is about...
When I was a folky,
right,
doing my funny folky songs, I was once booked. It was the worst booking ever. It was me in Washington, D.C., at a pretty big theater, opening for the Human League, which was this. What were they?
Synth pop. Yeah, Don't You Want Me Baby was their big hit.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Really,
the Human League.
Really detestable.
You weren't fans of theirs?
No, that whole synth pop thing, though, I didn't like it.
Well, I'll tell you who loved them.
Who?
Everyone in that theater.
They're fans, yeah.
Yeah, they're fans.
Yeah.
They're intolerant, short-sighted fans. and I'll tell you that story, but you got to trust me. It's worse than anything so far.
So there's more to the story.
When you
get out there with your funny folk songs and open, warm up the crowd.
Well,
for
you
the
know how charming
league.
I am. You know how hard it is not to like me.
I do know.
Right?
Yeah.
You instantly got to love me.
Yeah.
You can try not to love me. It's hard. Sometimes as a contest, we should do this some week. People should try not to love me.
No, it hurts.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, you actually physically get ill. But these people seem to be pretty good at it.
Hmm.
They didn't love me.
Maybe they were wearing special protective vests. Tommy and Neversink, you're on the air.
So I was in this band in North Carolina. We had a booking agent, and he called us and told us we had a gig at this club we had been dying to play at called Uncle Sam's in Winston-Salem. We go down there, we get there, and they say, actually, we wanted some other band to use your instruments.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait.
And it was Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Wait, it was Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and they arrived without instruments, and they needed...
Yeah, somehow their instruments got lost.
And then, so they booked you quickly just to use your instruments.
They get us down there.
That is the greatest story I ever heard.
And what was the name of your band?
Crystal Spirit, but I don't have any music.
No, but we'll play Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
That'll work.
And it's fantastic. Now, wait, what year was this?
Like 77.
Were they still kicking around in 77?
Oh, sure.
Evidently.
Yeah.
You know, they had like
But
10,
without instruments at times.
Yeah, apparently, they forget their instruments. But they don't need instruments. You can just call a local band up and steal theirs.
Right.
You know, they had like 10
big
hits.
They didn't tell us before we got down there. They pulled
Well, they wouldn't tell you that. I love that story.
All right,
fantastic.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy. Did you make a note of Tommy?
Yes. We have a lot of good stories here. I don't know who's going to win.
Oh, so far it's me, but I think a couple of these are close seconds.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to start deciding in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, Bobby in Westfield, you're on the air.
Hey, Bobby, thanks for calling. You love the show.
Hey, Andy, I love the show.
You can't believe you got through. You can't believe you got through.
Exactly.
You can't believe you got through.
Can't believe I got through.
Oh, sure. Hey, now, what was the name of your band? And tell us your story.
The name of the band, I was living in the Bronx at the time, and the name of the band was Tres Muertos. It was supposed to be like Three Murderers, because we're three guys, but, you know, roughly translated in Spanish, I think it means three murder.
Yeah.
But we played a gig at a place called Howl at the Moon. It was down by Fordham, and the owner thought it would be a really great idea to have these two bands. We were the second band, and then have the females do oil wrestling, and they got a baby pool to do this. And we got, like, halfway through our set, and then he just set it up, and kind of, like, these girls went at it. And
Wait. Are you talking about band members?
No, like, he... Well,
oh, you mean girls girls from the audience?
Girls that went to Fordham. Some of the girls worked there, and they were going to do oil wrestling in a baby pool. And they set it up while we were playing, and what happened was it became disastrous because all the oil spilled out of this baby pool because they got, like, really, you know, they got
yeah.
It was like a $500 purse.
They were wrestling.
And we had to cut our set. People started pushing up against us. We're almost getting pushed into a corner. And I remember we were taking, like, all this stuff, you know, trying to get out of there. It was like a riot. It was, you know, and what you couldn't move because people were wiping out because of the baby oil. And I remember that, you know, my drummer took a spill and the bass player left. And I was pushing out like a marshal. And then by the time I got out, you know, and we got out, the bass player was gone. That the drummer was so pissed that he goes, you know, he's fired.
Whoa.
And that kind of like was like, you know, we tried out the bass players, but that kind of like was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Well,
the oil wrestling riot.
It was because it was the most bizarre thing. I went back inside to get my gear.
Well, Ken, did you hear this? This is a gig that was so bad, it broke the band up.
I know.
Did you hear that story?
I did.
Are you made of stone?
No.
I mean, weren't you moved by that story?
My heart goes out to Bobby and the band.
His story touched my heart also. Hey, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bobby.
201-209-9368. That is heartbreaking. The band broke up.
Over an oil wrestling incident.
Yeah.
Wow. Remind me never to schedule oil wrestling for Monty Hall here at WFMU.
Well, if you don't write it down, you're going to forget.
That's why I'm asking you to remind me.
Okay, don't do that.
Okay.
Unless you happen to have a tub, there happens to be some baby oil, and there happens to be some Fordham students.
Okay, then it's okay to do it?
That are willing to do it. Yeah, then how could you not do it?
All right.
The crowd would tear you apart if you don't.
Okay. Russ in D.C., you're on the air.
Oh, no. Don't have the oil wrestling with two cute co-eds, Ken. Show one of your LSD movies from 1964. Oh, yeah. Do that, Ken. Yeah. There's my programming genius friend.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Show LSD propaganda movies and have oil wrestling in front of the screen.
Yeah. In fact, if you do that, Ken, if you book that, I'll tell you right now, I'm not married to the LSD movie part of it.
Okay.
Fantastic. 201-209-9368. Who's on the line?
Russ, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Russ.
So
thanks for calling.
I was in a Washington, D.C. band called True Womanhood.
True what?
And
True Womanhood.
It was called True Womanhood. We played a show up in Baltimore. It was Sunday night. I did not want to do it. I worked the next day. We drive up to this spot in Baltimore, the Hexagon, and we haven't started playing yet, but a couple bands are playing, and hear gunshots outside of the club.
Ooh, that's bad.
My friend's on his way to the club, and he calls me up, and he says that he sees blood all over the street. I tell him to get inside the club. So everybody gets inside the club.
Yeah.
The guy at the door is, like, shuffling everybody in. There's no lock on the door, so we just close the door. A man was shot through his nose and through part of his face in front of the club. Apparently after a... some sort of like altercation after like a gambling type thing.
It sounds like there was an altercation. I was going to say that.
A cordoned off police area because we were not allowed to leave the scene.
You were trapped in behind a murder scene and no one could leave the club. But
yeah,
in a way, isn't it sort of fortuitous? I mean, you have a literally a captive audience.
It's true. It's true. We did sneak out. There was a back entrance that we went through, and we found this sort of like abandoned anarchist setup where they had like an upside down flag and all the stuff in the next door area. But there was no real way out. It was like there was a.
What is the lesson? What is the lesson of this? What is the lesson of this story, Ken?
Don't let people get killed in front of your gig.
No, it's close though.
That was terrible.
No, the lesson is
we did survive. Which was
avoid altercations. Avoid.
Wait. Avoid.
Avoid altercations.
Hang on. Altercations.
Yes. Okay. Avoid altercations. And if, while you're writing down, while you're taking notes, get a couple of Fordham students in.
Oh, for the oil wrestling.
For the oil wrestling.
Okay,
we've learned a lot tonight.
Thank you, Russ.
Thanks very much. Hey, now should we review?
Yeah, we should review.
Do you want to hear the rest of my story? The
sure.
winning story, in my opinion?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I come on stage. I'm opening for the Human League.
Uh-huh.
You know I'm irresistible. You know how charming I am.
No, I know.
You can't resist my charm, even if you try.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I come on stage. These people want to see the Human League. I call them people. It's kind of a joke, a little private joke between me and myself. And first song didn't go great. No one was listening. It's going to be a long little set. I could feel that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from the darkness, from the upper balcony, there was a balcony area, somebody shouts out, Railroad Bill.
Your big hit.
Which is one of my little songs. And I was kind of relieved, of course, right? And because somebody's requesting a song of mine. So
yeah.
I say, oh, somebody's seen me. That's what I say, right? And then here's where it goes horribly wrong. The same voice from the balcony, the same guy, shouts this out. Yeah, you suck. So the whole audience, which is already like on the fence.
And this is like, 2,000 people?
Yeah, well, I would say it's 1,000 people. But the whole audience, they're on the fence. They don't know what to think about me, right? They're on the fence. And there's one guy there that's seen me, and he gives his review that I suck.
And what did you say to that?
I don't recall, but I just remember I couldn't get off that stage fast enough. I did, you know, the minimum number of my little ditties, but it was gone from that second on. It was over. The night for me was over. And then I do remember I was so mad that I read off the Human League had their set list taped to the speakers.
Yeah.
On the stage, and I remember saying, "Hey, you want to know what the Human League's up to tonight?" And I just read off the damn set list.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
I said, hey, wonder what the encores are. Here they are. Okay. So I was just so mad.
Wow.
And then I got off stage, and I got paid, and then I wanted to leave so bad. I just wanted to leave so bad because there was 1,000 people that hated me. And the only way out, I was told, was through the crowd. Through the crowd. So me and my little cardboard guitar case, I had to push my way through the crowd, the lynch mob, and I just kept apologizing and kept my head down and mumbling.
And did people say anything to you as you walked through?
My memory's terrible. I'd be lying if I said I remember.
Nobody said great set?
But I remember, all I remember thinking is someday I'm going to have a radio show. We're going to do a show where we look for the worst gig, and I'm going to win. I'm going to win that contest.
All right, well, we have to decide really quickly because there's 10 minutes to go. And
So why don't we review?
Okay, Gigi Disco Rock, that was Lucille.
Yeah.
Who sing of sexual fetishism, and they got booked at a Christian family
festival.
Bad
gig, can't deny. Yeah.
Okay, Mike and the band Lost Gloves got booked to play, and then it turned out to be an outdoor stage, and it was so cold that nobody stood outside, and everybody just watched them through the frosted window in the bar.
Tough gig, my heart goes out to him.
Rob played for Rob A. Lou and the Bastards, and the guitar player forgot his Gretsch Hollow body and had to play like a metal solid body without a whammy bar.
Tough gig, but I think we can beat it.
Okay, Dave and the band Laura Palmer, they booked like a hardcore tour through Friendster, and they end up in Atlanta where the festival is supposed to take place, and the venue's been closed down for health reasons.
Heartbreaker.
Martin from Sweden, from the band Enter, they booked a gig for friends and family, and they decided it would be a good idea to wear transparent clothing. And
yeah, there's very few occasions where that's a good idea.
They got on stage and realized, oh, maybe not such a good
especially,
idea.
Especially, yeah, that's right, there were family in the audience.
Okay, Mark was booked to play bass for Buzzy Linhart, who showed up hours late and then made them play the song You've Got to Have Friends three times.
And Incense and Peppermint.
And Incense and Peppermint, because they also had an original member of the Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. That's definitely in the top.
That's in the running, yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy from the band Crystal Spirit got booked, but it turned out that they were only booked to provide musical instruments to Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
God, that my heart goes out.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Okay.
We just heard Bobby from the band Tres Muertos, and we heard about the story of the oil wrestling riot featuring the Fordham college girls.
Now, you know why that's up? You know why that's way up there? Because the band broke up.
Yeah.
The band could not survive that night.
And then the band we just heard from Russ, either True Womanhood or Trumanhood. I'm not sure what the name of the band is. Somebody was shot in the face right outside the gig.
After an altercation.
Yeah. Well, life lesson. They had an altercation.
No, it wasn't after an altercation. I would say it was during the altercation.
Well, they had the altercation, so they were asking for it.
Yeah, if you get into an altercation, somebody's going to get shot in the nose.
So it seems like it's between the Buzzy Linhart.
No, and then there's another one.
And Gary Lewis.
There's another one. There's another one.
Oh, yours.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on, go ahead. Sum that one up. Go ahead.
There was Andy Breckman who got rattled by a heckler at a Human League concert.
Wow, rattled. You say he was rattled?
Rattled by a heckler who dared to yell out, "You suck."
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I guess he's never heard of bands playing in front of crowds where the entire crowd is chanting, "You suck."
Yeah, but this
you
was worse.
Suck.
This was worse because it happened to me. You're not factoring that in.
Right.
This is when I feel everyone's pain, but I have to say I feel my pain
even
more.
Well, we only have 6 minutes. We have to play two songs.
Okay, so what would you vote?
I thought we were going to play a band, so I feel funny saying Buzzy Linhart and the Strawberry Alarm Clock, but
I would say the worst story is Thanks for coming. We need your instruments. and here's this diamond ring.
So that means we play Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Well, let's play one song of Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
And you get to go home early.
No, I'll stick around. I feel a little bit. You might not remember. I came in a little late today.
Yeah, really late.
This is me, the honor system. I'm not going to lie to you. I came in late.
Yeah. Oh, man. So Everybody Loves a Clown.
Everybody Loves a Clown. I love that song.
This Diamond Ring.
Classic.
Oh.
Everybody loves a clown.
What else have they
got? So why don't you? Everybody laughs at the things that I say and do. But you don't laugh when you see me coming. No, you don't laugh. You just go home running. It's not easy to be in love, you see, when you're a clown like me.
How about Count Me In? That seems to be their biggest hit.
Yeah.
You know that song?
Of course, I know them all.
Should we play Count Me In?
Yeah, I'm 60 years old.
Man, I hate Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Look at him!
He's the greatest.
Look at that guy.
He's the greatest.
Good Lord.
He's Jerry Lewis's son, you know.
No, he's not.
Yes, he was. No, yes, he is.
No,
oh, of course he is.
No, he's not.
Oh, Kenny, of course he is. Yes, he is. And he was killed in Vietnam in 1964.
No, he was not.
Yeah, 1966, I guess.
You're making all this up.
Here's what I'm not making up. At the height of their fame, he is Jerry Lewis's son.
Okay.
At the height of their fame, there was a rumor circulating, this has got to be verified by someone, that he had been killed in Vietnam, and everyone believed it.
Oh, there
he
were.
He actually had to issue a statement. Hey, I didn't go to Vietnam. I'm still alive.
Yeah, there were all sorts of rumors like that. There was a rumor about that with Mikey, the kid. Mikey Likes It, the Life cereal kid, that he died in Vietnam. Okay, here's Count Me In.
Wait, I'm so sorry. There's one other Gary Lewis story. There's a great Gary Lewis story in the movie The Wrecking Crew. Have you seen that movie?
Haven't seen it yet.
Oh no, it's about the backup LA musician. A lot of good Beach Boy stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a great, I think it might be Count Me In. I think that might be the song. There's a great whole little section on a guy who recorded a guitar break in a Gary Lewis and the Playboy song, studio musician, and the Gary Lewis and the Playboy band member was so mad at him because he was going to have to learn how to do that for the live shows. And I think it's the little Spanish guitar fills in this song.
Okay.
I think it's Count Me In.
And we will be back next week live from the Bellevue Theater at the Montclair Film Festival.
Yeah, it'll just be me and Ken and no one there.
Nobody trying to pretend that we're going to pretend that people are lined up to see the 7-second delay documentary that was never made.
Well, actually the FMU movie, to be fair and honest, I've seen, of course. I've seen it a couple times, and it's a lot of fun, and everyone should come out.
Yeah, it's next Tuesday night.
Who's the hero of the movie? It's not me.
Nick the Bard.
I'd say Nick. Yeah, Nick is in it, and
Tom Sharpling's the hero.
Tom Sharpling comes in and saves your butt.
Yeah.
So it has everything you could want in a movie.
Okay, so stay tuned for YOY with Andrea, and here is Count Me In by Gary Lewis and the Playboys. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM.
Hey, did you mention Rockland County?
I did. This is the right song, right?
Yeah. Oh, I guess this is not the song with the Spanish guitar.
Hey, thank you to Nick the Bard and Veronica for helping with this week's show. And don't forget to meet us next week at the Montclair Film Festival at the Bellevue Theater in Montclair, where we'll be broadcasting live from 6 to 7 p.m. Stay tuned for YOY.
Andrea, this is YOY on WFMU, and I have a special guest in the studio with me tonight. Welcome, Hollywood.
Hey.
Holly is a regular guest on YOY. You should listen back to all of our episodes. My favorites with you, Holly, are He's Not That Into Any of Us and the PTDD episode where we talked about post-traumatic dating disorder. What are your qualifications for talking about dating? Let's knock them out of the way real quick.
So qualifications, really fast. I am writing my dissertation on how people date.
That's all people need to know.
That's all you gotta know.
It's a really common dissertation topic. Most people just love talking about dating and their Harvard sociology PhD programs. Like
that's all we do. I mean, literally, there's like 40 of us all doing dating. No, nothing else is important right now.
Yeah. So welcome.
Welcome. Yay.
And we're providing a service tonight. You know, like, there's a lot of services in the world. There's Uber, there's Seamless, you know, Amazon Prime, whatever.
Grindr.
Yeah, Grindr. Our service tonight is we are your cryptic message translators. That person sent you a text and you have no idea what it means. That person sent you a OkCupid message and you've been thinking about it all week. You have no idea how to decrypt it. Holly and I are here to help. The phone number to call is 201-209-9368. Again, 201-209-9368. And I'm starting the playlist now, so you can comment there too. Messages are confusing, right?
They're so confusing. I mean, how did people date before they texted?
I don't know.
Like, what did they do?
And also, what did we do before we could screenshot text messages and send them to our friends?
I know. I mean, how would you be able to screenshot when a guy sends you messages like, I can't feel anymore, and have your friends decode those messages and tell you, Holly, get away from him. Never talk to him again.
Okay, you have to, this is a real message that you've received. I don't feel anymore?
I mean, to paraphrase, it was just like, I don't have feelings anymore. And I asked him, what happened to your feelings? And he's like, I took them away. This is a text exchange, really fast, very brief, out of nowhere.
Okay, who was this guy?
Just a guy I went out on a date with. And I just didn't understand why on the text message he decided to send that to me. And I asked him, what happened to your feelings, thinking it was some kind of joke. And he's like, no, I went Stannis Baratheon on myself and just robbed myself of feeling.
Wait, that's the Game of Thrones reference?
Yeah, that's a Game of Thrones reference.
I still don't watch that show.
Some people will get it, Andrea. Not many people, but some.
I just like shows set in like the real world. I have a hard time with like Realms as like a show thing. I just don't do Realms. But I know it's a good show. Everyone tells me it's a good show.
Don't do Realms.
Yeah.
20 minutes ago, you said you cry at authority figures. Like, I don't do Realms or fantasy.
Yeah. I guess I'm getting to know me, you know?
Yeah.
Call screen tonight is Nick the Bard, the wonderful Nick the Bard. And if he has a free moment, he's welcome to come into the studio. He had an example of a text translation moment. So, Nick, if you're around, feel free to drop in because he's right outside the door. So, again, the number to call, 201-209-9368, and we will translate your most cryptic text messages. I remember, like, an early AOL, like, just kind of like this process of creating a language for talking with your friends, like the first time you used LOL, how much I'd use dot, dot, dots and slashes. Like, we kind of have to... There are all these tricks that we use to try to make talking through typed words sound like a conversation.
It can sound like a conversation. It is the medium in which we do exchange our thoughts. We all use email. I don't understand why when it happens through a dating platform, it suddenly becomes like the weirdest thing ever. Like we're all speaking Spanish to each other.
Nick the Bard, welcome to YOY. Tell us about the time someone spoke Spanish with you on an online dating app.
This was actually, I barely get messages, but it's like the last one I got was basically like, she was more trying to find out why I didn't message her than trying to talk to me.
Wait, no, step back. So you met, well, no, you didn't meet anybody. You looked at somebody's profile on OkCupid.
Yeah.
And then what does OkCupid do when you visit a profile?
I mean, you get notice that you looked at their profile. Technically, I did block her because I wasn't, just wasn't that interested at all.
Wait.
She actually messaged me after I had blocked her.
Oh, okay. So you visited her page.
Yeah.
Read what she had to offer and then immediately blocked her.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And then she messaged you and asked you why you didn't message her.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you read us the message that she sent you?
Well, the first line was, I see you view my profile, but don't recall a message. Is there a reason why?